This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Before we start our next conversation, we'd like to let you know that while we won't be going into graphic detail, the topic of suicide will be part of the discussion. If you or someone you know is in crisis, call or text 988 to reach the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. For more than a month, media across the U.S. as well as in Canada and the U.K. has been covering the trial and mistrial of Lindsay Clancy. The Massachusetts woman, formerly a labor and delivery nurse, has been charged with first-degree murder of her young children, ages 5 and 3 years and 8 months old. The case has driven curiosity about one specific and rare mental health condition, postpartum psychosis, but it has also brought greater attention to maternal mental health overall. Dr. Mary Kimmel specializes in perinatal and reproductive psychiatry at WashU School of Medicine. Her research and work with patients is dedicated to women's mental health in the periods before, during, and after pregnancy, and helping expecting and new moms and their families and doctors support maternal wellness. And she joins us now to talk about it. Dr. Kimmel, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here and so glad to be talking about this. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the perinatal stage. You know, what does it mean and what does it encompass?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so perinatal means around birth, but actually for many of us who work in perinatal psychiatry, we actually define this as being throughout pregnancy, and actually some people would even say in preparation for pregnancy, particularly people, for example, who are going through an infertility journey, so kind of leading up to in pregnancy, and then around the specific birth, and then actually up to a year after delivery.
Up to a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How well understood is the perinatal stage, you know, or maybe, you know, what is misunderstood or misapprehended about it?
We are learning more and more about it. It's interesting to find the things that we are finding in terms of the things that happen in the brain, actually, during pregnancy and postpartum, but also even what happens in the parent who did not give birth and the dads, and even we can see brain changes. And so this is a very dynamic period. But I think that's probably also kept people from really fully grasping all the complexity of all the things. I think many of us definitely think of, you know, right, kind of the birth and right after, but we're often not thinking of the perinatal period as a year or even actually longer than a year if someone is breastfeeding even longer.
Why is it critical, Dr. Kimmel, to understand these stages? So within perinatal stage, there's the before, the during, the after. Why is it important to understand them discreetly and then also in the aggregate?
Yeah, that's a great question. Each part has its own interesting dynamics in terms of the social dynamics, in terms of the psychological dynamics, in terms of the biological dynamics. So you think about in pregnancy, actually in early pregnancy, for example, the immune system is actually pretty active in that part. And then there's sort of a point where there has to be this tolerance of the immune system and kind of a balancing. And then actually at delivery, the immune system activates again to help with delivery. And then postpartum, the system is then kind of figuring out back to pre-pregnancy in terms of some of it, but then also you're adding in breastfeeding and hormonal changes with that, and then you just add in all the other kind of social and psychological parts of becoming a parent and the changes, financial changes in your life, all of those things.
The breastfeeding part is something that I had not thought about, the nursing, because that does a lot, especially to schedules and then as far as our time and our financial resources. Have you found that there are more people who understand perinatal as distinct in sort of the totality of maternal mental health?
I do think that with the discussion that's been going on, we have more people thinking about it and thinking about it as a longer period of time. And I think that's part of what's actually surprised some people as they are kind of following and trying to understand the perinatal period is that it is this really period from pregnancy through you know, postpartum and through breastfeeding.
We want to invite you to this conversation. Do you have a question about perinatal mental health? What is your sense of people's awareness of the challenges or realities of mental health for women just before, during, or after pregnancy? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send an email to talk@stlpr.org. So Dr. Kimmel, as we noted in the introduction, you know, the several-week trial of former nurse Lindsay Clancy, which was declared a mistrial just this past Friday, it's put sort of a spotlight on postpartum psychosis. And we won't be going into analysis of Clancy's case or the specifics, right, of her diagnosis, but it would be helpful to get, you know, a better sense of what this condition is and what it is not. So first of all, you know, is postpartum psychosis something that is common or is it rare?
This is a really important thing that I actually think we need more research to really understand. So postpartum psychosis at the core is sort of psychosis is experiences that involve delusions. So those are ideas that don't fit with the person's reality and the reality of people around them, and hallucinations, which can be visual, like they see things, hearing things that other people are not. That's sort of at the core. But when we really take a look at what we are have been studying over years and actually increasingly trying to understand the biology of, we see that it's actually more related to mood. And so it's not postpartum depression, but it's highly related to it, and highly related to postpartum anxiety and other types of postpartum perinatal mental health conditions that include anxiety, PTSD, OCD, things like that. And so it is a mood. It's these symptoms in relation to things that are happening, usually with mood changes, whether that be elevated mood or very depressed mood.
Mm-hmm. Are there any numbers that you can share, figures around, you know, the frequency of this particular disorder or illness?
Yeah, so we often quote that it's 1 to 2 per 1,000. But I will say, from my experience taking care of women over the past, really 15 years, I think sometimes we're not, that probably doesn't capture everyone that I work with, that sometimes people are having experiences that are fleeting, and those aren't getting counted. Sometimes people are having symptoms that they, you know, for good reason, are not sharing with other people. And so I think it is rare, but also I think we need to be careful about saying it's rare, because then that seems to say then we don't need to worry about it and that we don't need to be studying it. And we absolutely, this actually will help us understand mental health across the board, I think, by studying something like postpartum psychosis.
So rarity could also have to do then with people not wanting to receive a diagnosis like that.
Absolutely.
How is it typically diagnosed?
Yeah, I think the key, so there, it's not in the DSM, but having said that, I think that there is a lot of, there are people like myself who've done a lot of training in reproductive psychiatry. We're actually working very hard to develop curriculum so that people can be trained in reproductive and perinatal psychiatry. And so in terms of diagnosis, and this sort of fits with what we do in all of mental health and psychiatry, is it really is about sitting with someone, going through their experiences with them, looking at their history, the things that in their lives that may have led up to this current perinatal period, going through what they're experiencing in the perinatal period. And through that, we can come up with diagnoses that I say are guides. So they guide us and help us figure out the right treatments.
You mentioned that it is not in the DSM. This is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. Why is postpartum psychosis not in there? Or, I mean, was it in there and then taken out, as has happened with other conditions?
Yeah. So, and it, there is a diagnosis code for postpartum psychosis. And I think there is a, very much a movement to try to get it back into the DSM and to have it as a diagnosis. And I will say there is some complexity around where does it fit. It is, some people say it's very linked to bipolar disorder, and other people feel like it needs to be its own unique, specialized diagnosis, kind of like we've done with some other diagnoses, like OCD has now sort of been pulled out and is its own group.
Mm-hmm. The treatment, so along with Rarity, there's also the fact that it is treatable, postpartum psychosis. What does treatment typically entail?
Yeah, I'm so glad you say that. I always want the message to be that this is that postpartum psychosis is treatable, and in general, any, the experiences that across the board that women are having in the perinatal period, that we can support them and we have good treatments. And so some of the treatments are actually some algorithms that have been created over the years in terms of treatment for postpartum psychosis. And the first part is actually to ensure people get sleep. Sleep is a very important component of this. And actually, for some people, that's the main component, is their sleep has been so disrupted. And if we can reset their sleep, that actually can do a lot for them. Mm-hmm. But then there are other people where it does fit more into this mood disorder. And so we have found actually that lithium is an amazing medicine for some people, and it is really a turning point. Mm-hmm. But also, then there are subgroups. And so I've taken care of patients where it is more of a depression with kind of a psychotic features. And so then we use sometimes antidepressants with antipsychotic medication. And so there really is kind of working with the person to find kind of the components for them and to find the precise treatment. But I, again, want to ask, just reiterate, it is treatable, and we people really can do well with the right treatment.
Mm-hmm. How does family come into play insofar as support is concerned?
That's also a really important thing to highlight. In fact, I often talk about the dyad, and sometimes I actually like to talk about the triad or the quad, because I think we really, the perinatal period is meant to be this period of, we think about mom and baby, but we also need to think about the partner, the dad. We need to think about the kind of the family around them, that includes grandparents and family that other, you know, the family we find in our friends and people, families we create. And so it is really, I think, important that we all be talking about these things. And sometimes, you know, the person themselves is working so hard, and they're just pushing and pushing and working so hard and trying to be a good parent and trying to figure this out. And sometimes it is the people around them that can say, you know, It's strange that you're suddenly really focused on the temperature in a way that you've never been in your house before. What is that about? You know, mm-hmm. what's going on? You know, and so I do think it's about, and it is about also then destigmatizing and making sure that people, that we all understand that we all have mental health needs, but sometimes someone has a higher need. And in the postpartum period, people may often do have higher needs.
Mm-hmm. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. In the meantime, we want to invite you to the conversation. Do you have a question about perinatal mental health? What is your sense of people's awareness of the challenges or realities of mental health for women just before, during, or up to a year after pregnancy? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send an email to talk@stlpr.org. We'll be right back. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. We're talking today with Dr. Mary Kimmel. She is a WashU Medicine researcher and clinician who focuses on perinatal and reproductive psychiatry. We've been discussing perinatal and maternal mental health, which has come to greater public attention through news and other coverage of the trial and mistrial of Lindsay Clancy, a Massachusetts mother who's been charged with first-degree murder of her three children. Before we move away from the specific diagnosis of postpartum psychosis, Dr. Kimmel, what can a partner specifically do if a mother is going through something that appears to be related to postpartum psychosis?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to tell them that they want them to have as much support and that their mental health is important and that they are not alone, that the patient at times may, that the mom may feel alone at times and that they are not alone, and just keep reminding them that. But then also to listen to them and give them safe space to talk about what they're experiencing. I think sometimes when we hear that someone says, oh, I'm having this intrusive thought, I think we want to say, oh, that's just an intrusive thought. That's just a thought. It'll go away. Mm. But also on the other side of that, if someone is having an upsetting thought, we also don't want to say, oh my gosh, we need to separate you from your child right away because you had that thought. And so it's really sitting with people and giving them space to talk about what they're experiencing, and then saying, giving them also space to find treatment and to reach out for treatment from their OB and from psychiatrists and mental health providers in their community.
Mm-hmm. I understand that there has been an increase of calls that are coming in to WashU's medical, you know, clinic, but that it's not necessarily tied to what all has been out in media, right?
Yeah, I really think it speaks to there is a huge need. And in some ways, but when we are having a conversation about it, people feel more able to reach out and to ask questions and to seek help and seek support and to seek support for depression, for anxiety, for the whole host of different spectrum of experiences that people are having in the perinatal period.
Mm-hmm. So interest in care, you know, increased interest in care, reaching out for help, how much of it, you know, can you tie to the trial?
It's a good question, because I think that this has really hit home for a lot of people. I know I've had conversations with people here in my St. Louis community who, you know, are saying how hard it has been to hear what's going on and to also to know the mental health journeys they've had. And so I think it is tied to that. I think it's tied to the conversations we're having. But I also think these were conversations we needed to have, and I hope that we continue these conversations and that regardless of what is happening in the news.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to talk about some of the realities and misconceptions. When it comes to postpartum depression, what is it that is not well enough understood about something that, you know, people, I think, they recognize what the term is, but, you know, to what extent do we really get it?
That's a great question. I think that comes out of the even thinking about the term, the different terms we use. So we use the term postpartum blues. Oh, you've just got some of the blues. And that can, for someone who's experiencing, you know, I have a lot of people will tell me it's more than that, and I know it's more than that. But then it's hard to talk about it when someone said, oh, this is just the baby blues. And so depression, and I think the other thing that we have to understand is that can be very different for different people. Some people, their symptoms are actually more anxiety. In fact, the word depression doesn't fit for them, because what they're really, they are just so worried about, they feel like they're worried about the baby, they're worried about the health of their baby, they're worried about the health of their family members, they're worried about their own health. Mm. And so that can be that experience. Then there can be other people who feel like they feel a lack of connection, and yet they're still doing all the things and they're really connected to everyone outside. They are connecting so well with their baby and with their family, and yet they sometimes feel it. They are not feeling that they are as connected as they want to be. And so it can vary, and we have to give space. The depression is this individualized thing, but we can also see that it is something that many people experience.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned 15 years as sort of the time that you've focused on perinatal health and psychiatry. When you were coming into this field, were there presuppositions that were made about women and their health, you know, and not only what they needed, but what they deserved, that compelled you to stay in this field?
Yeah, I actually started off in OBGYN, and I will say I really love talking with people about their emotions. And I even remember in medical school, in my psychiatry rotation, I had an amazing couple preceptors who kept giving me articles on postpartum depression and saying, you really need to look at this and think about this. And so they knew before I did. And so I think that what keeps me in this, doing this, is how honored I feel to be able to, for patients and their families to share their journey with me, and that I can support them in that journey.
Mm-hmm. We have someone who is calling, Janet from Clarksville. Janet, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
Dr. Kimmel, have there been any studies involving hormone levels in women who are experiencing postpartum psychosis?
Oh, now you're talking my language. This is the kind of thing that I think we need to continue to study even more. And so we know that there are some people who are sensitive to it, and it's not actually the level of hormone, although I'm going to come back to that. So we know that there that big drop in estrogen and progesterone at delivery, that some people are very sensitive to that. And then I would say, but we're also need now what I think we need to do a better job of is looking at the hormone changes that are across the perinatal period, and that there is sort of fluctuations. And so there is a sensitivity to that. And we've learned some things about this. We have a medicine that targets that is similar to the hormone allopregnanolone, which is a byproduct of progesterone. But we have also, through that process, we've even studied that in terms of postpartum, a small study in terms of postpartum psychosis that we did. But we really have a lot more to learn. And I think this is where we have to think about how can we get more information? How can we study this in a more systematic way so that we can look? Because I think across women, it's going to be different for different women.
Janet, yes. Thank you so much. So much of the conversation, Dr. Kimmel, seems focused on individuals. So it's the mother, it is the partner. If we go out a little bit further, it's the family and community. But to what extent is maternal mental health overall a public health issue?
Oh, it absolutely is. In fact, I think that's part of sometimes what we're missing in this conversation. I will often tell people, we're not meant to parent alone, and we're not meant to go through the perinatal period alone. And that means, the people immediately around us, but also it absolutely is a public health issue. I think if we do a better job in terms of acknowledging maternal mental health, we're actually doing a better job of understanding mental health across all people, and also really empowering people that their mental health is important, even especially during dynamic periods of change.
Mm-hmm. In the research that you're doing now, what is it that you've been working on that is directly related to some of the questions that seem to be coming up because of media coverage of the Lindsay Clancy case?
So my research actually spans several different types of research. So one type of research is systems research, and really how taking treatments that we already have and seeing if we can compare those treatments and figure out for whom is the right treatment. And so getting the right treatment to the right person. The other part is more of trying to understand the underlying biology. And actually, I do that through the gut-brain axis and the microbiome, so the bacteria in our guts, and how that relates to our mental health, because we can learn a lot about the biology of mental health actually from our guts.
Is there anything that you would offer as a word of encouragement to those maybe who are listening and thinking about what they've struggled with personally, or who have someone in their life who maybe is resistant to getting some assistance?
Yeah. First, I would say I want everyone to know you are not alone. Now, that we do need to do a better job of creating systems where we have better access, where people can have support along the way and have someone along the way supporting them. But I want them to know they're not alone. And I also want you to know mental health, we all have mental health needs. And we have different mental health needs, but we all have mental health needs. And so please, you know, seek out and that your journey is important, your story is important, and you are important.
Dr. Kimmel, we started the conversation by saying that we were not going to do analysis of the Clancy trial. We're not going to get into, you know, this specific case or the medical diagnosis. Do you think that there was anything missing in the coverage of the trial, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, I think we need to continue to talk more about our systems of care and how do we, and this is really about mental health and how we provide people mental health and how do we get people to the right level of care. I think it is important to acknowledge there are a lot of people who are working very hard in this space and who care deeply about how we can improve that. And so I don't want the message to be that people aren't trying and aren't, because actually we are there are lots of things happening, but we also do need more things happening. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Mary Kimmel is a WashU Medicine researcher and clinician who focuses on perinatal and reproductive psychiatry. Dr. Kimmel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And please remember, if you or someone you know is in crisis, call or text 988 to reach the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline.
This episode was produced by Elaine Cha.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.